Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 2. We'll continue our study. The name of the message is God Forbid. God Forbid. Now, during the times of this letter being written, we know that there was many false teachers, and John called them antichrist. And what an antichrist is anything against Christ. So any false religion is antichrist. It's the spirit of antichrist. And many religions fall into that, except for grace. There's only really two religions in the world. You can boil them all down to grace or works, every single one of them. And today we'll continue our study in the book of Galatians. Let's read verses 15 to 21 to see the context of our verse today. Paul's writing in response to Peter, who's separated from the Gentiles. He was eaten with them and separated from the Gentiles when certain Jews came from Jerusalem. And he's telling him here, always let us remember who the true author of these words is God the Holy Spirit. He's the true author of these words. And he so plainly has Paul pen in verse 16 that justification is by Christ alone, in and through Christ alone, not by any works which we do. Let's look at verses 15 to 21. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Now I have to explain that verse a little bit. The Jews thought because they supposedly kept the law that they weren't sinners. You see? And everyone else, Gentiles, and remember, anyone else outside the nation of Israel was a Gentile, right? They were a bunch of sinners. You see? Kind of like some religious folks nowadays, right? Kind of like some religious folks who think because they can keep the law, or they supposedly think they can keep the law, they can't, because to offend in one point of the law is to be guilty of it all. They look down at other people. Well, praise God that our Lord and King ate with publicans and sinners. I'm a sinner, are you? I'm a saved sinner, right? Right? We're saved sinners, aren't we? That's what we are. Look at this. So that's a little background on that. We who are Jews by nature are not sinners as Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, that's so clear, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. So clear, isn't it? So clear. He's told us twice already in this verse that we cannot be justified by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, here's the third time, shall no flesh be justified. My goodness, so clear. But yet, I couldn't see it before the Lord saved me, could you? We couldn't. Yeah, we're blind. He has to reveal himself to us, doesn't he? He has to illuminate the scriptures. The Holy Spirit, who's the author of the scriptures, must illuminate the scriptures for us. And the natural man, when we were in our natural state, we didn't understand the things of God. But praise be to God, when we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, right? Now, we're given an understanding. We know a little wee bit now, don't we? And we rejoice in that little bit we know. We rejoice. And the more we learn, the more we rejoice in our great God and King. It says, but if we seek to be justified by Christ, we also ourselves are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. That's our verse for today, but we'll continue reading the context. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law. What a statement. That I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Look at that. Every believer can say, along with Paul, every born-again, blood-washed saint can say, along with Paul, it's right there in the scriptures, that Christ gave his life for me. Wonder of wonders. The Word of God, God incarnate in the flesh, gave his life for me. Contemplate that this week. Meditate upon that this week. when you get down a little bit, because we all get down through the week, don't we? When you get down a little bit, remember this. Let it just run in your mind. Look at this. The Son of God who loved me. For how long? From eternity. And gave himself for me. Willingly. Sent by the Father. And willingly comes and gives his life a ransom for our eternal souls. My. It's amazing. And then he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Why did Christ die if we can justify ourselves by our works? See? We can't. That's why Christ had to die for us. Because we can't be justified by anything we do. And we who are the people of God, we've been taught that, haven't we, by the Holy Spirit of God. He's taught us that. And who does he keep pointing us to? Christ. He's the only one he points us to. It's Christ and Christ alone, isn't it? My. He not speak of himself, the scripture says. You're teaching the things of Christ. My. Now, just as in times past, we have those among us in religion who say, if you preach that a sinner is completely, perfectly justified in Christ, then they're going to just go and do whatever they want. If I had a dollar for every time someone said to me, if I preach what you believe, then a person could go live however they want. Do you know I've never said that, and do you know I've never heard a grace preacher ever say that? I have never, and I've listened to, like you guys, thousands of sermons. And have you ever once heard a grace preacher say, well, you can just go live however you want because now you're saved? I've never heard that. No, because it's the love of Christ that constrains us from sin now. Right? Now, do we still sin? Oh, yeah, to our shame, right? But Christ has forgiven us of all our sin, hasn't he? Past, present, and future. And if you tell people that, you get accused of what's called antinomianism. And that means against the law. I'm not against the law. I just can't fulfill it, can you? But I know one who fulfilled it in my place perfectly. And it's counted to me as one of his people, clothed in his perfect righteousness. It's counted to me, and he did it. My wonder, yeah, what a savior. It's amazing. And we're forgiven of all our sins by the precious, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shed to redeem us, to purchase us, you know what? From under the law. We were under the law, beloved. He's purchased us out from under the law. That's why we're free now. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. And be not again entangled in the yoke of bondage. Galatians 5:1. My. And see, this book, Paul is bringing forth this key. I believe it's a keystone. Justification in Christ alone is a keystone of what we believe. And it's what the reformers cried out back in the days of the Reformation. Salvation's of the Lord, justified by Christ alone. And you know, we see people attacking it here in Galatians, don't we? That's what these false teachers are doing. When they're saying you have to be circumcised along with Christ to be saved, they are actually attacking the wonderful doctrine of justification in Christ alone. And you know, there's people still doing it today. See, there's nothing new under the sun, is there? We think, well, look at that group. They're new. No, they're not new. They're just rehashing an old heresy. That's all they're doing. They're just putting another name on it. But it's the same lie from the pit of hell, isn't it? Oh, my. We are fully, freely forgiven by the free and sovereign grace of God in Christ, in him alone. And what do we say? Hallelujah, right? Oh, praise your mighty name, Lord. That's wonderful. That's the best news I've ever heard. But it will never give us a license to sin. It'll never give us a license to sin. That's why we mourn over our sins. Now, works, you know, do you know what works mongers have done through the ages? And that's exactly what these Judaizers are. They're works mongers, beloved. And what are they seeking to do to the Galatians? They're seeking to shackle them, aren't they? Because Paul says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Don't be entangled again in that yoke of bondage. Don't be shackled like a slave. See, anyone that tells you you have to do something to be saved along with Christ's work, they're shackling you with chains of bondage. We're free in Christ, beloved. He did it all. He redeemed us with his precious blood. He lived a perfect life fulfilling that law of God in our room and place. He did it all. And he was sent to do it. And he willingly did it. God, the Father, didn't have to twist his arm. He said, no, I'll go and die for those you gave me, Father. Because I love them. They're my bride. They're my bride. And I've loved them with an everlasting love. And it says right there in verse 21, right? In verse 20, who loved me, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. My, I wasn't even born then, were you? And it says, he loved me. He gave himself for me. Paul, and Paul's talking personally there, isn't he? And every believer can say this. Do you see? By the grace of God, we can say this. Oh, and works mongers, they're trying to shackle God's people, saying if you teach that a man or woman is completely forgiven of all their sins, past, present, and future, well, then they're just going to go and do whatever they want. No, they won't. No, they won't. They're going to grieve over their sin. They're going to be convicted of their sin. Oh, my. What does God have to do for a man to go to hell? Nothing. Just leave him alone. Just leave him alone. What does God have to do for a man to go to heaven? Everything. Everything, beloved. Isn't that wonderful? Has he not done everything for we who are his people? He's done everything. He saved us. Oh, my. My, oh, my. So when they say that man or woman just go crazy and sin if they're fully forgiven, they do not understand the grace of God, do they? They do not understand the regenerating power of God, the Holy Spirit. They don't understand the new birth. They don't understand God gives us a new heart that now hungers and thirsts after righteousness. And now we have the biggest battle we've ever had in our lives between the spirit and the flesh. And it doesn't stop. And sometimes the flesh wins, and sometimes the spirit, right? I like to call it a civil war within the believer. Oh, it's true. And there's sometimes we plunge ourselves into sin knowingly, and we're like, oh my gosh, why did I do that? Why? Why am, you know, I can just sit in my easy chair and thoughts will roll through my head, and I'm like, what in the world is going on here? And then I just got to focus on Christ during those times. Do you? My. Say, God, oh, please forgive me for that. That's just a wicked thought I just had. And I'm just being raw and honest. It's true. It's true, isn't it? My. So it's an outward lie to say that God's people just going to go and do whatever they say. And then they take it a step further. They said Christ is the minister of sin. What? He's the sinless one who came to die for sinners. To solve the sin problem that we have. He's the remedy, isn't he? See, we're sick. We're sick with the pandemic of sin. And this pandemic has been running for 6,000 years in this world. unabated except for the precious blood of Christ. See, the only cure is Christ, isn't he? He's a great physician, right? He's the great physician. And nothing man does can cure this pandemic of sin. But the great physician can. Oh, he's a great healer, isn't he? We're healed by his stripes. By his precious, precious blood, beloved. My, oh my. And we see there in verse 17, again, some accuse Christ of being the minister of sin if you're justified by Christ. And they're found a sinner. Now, we still have these false teachers among us today, these workmongers. Here's a translation by Wiest of this scripture. Now, let's read it in the King James, and then I'll give you... He was a Greek scholar, and I'll give you what he wrote from the Greek, too. So it says, "But if, well, we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin?" And he writes this. "But if, as is the case, while seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews," because remember he's speaking to the Jews who dissimulated, "ourselves are also found to be sinners, is Christ therefore a promoter of sin? Away with that thought." Do you know when I looked at the Greek word there for forbid, and I'm going to talk about it at the end, it is in the absolute negative. Oh, God forbid that. It cannot be. Let it never be. Away with that thought. No, he's the savior of sinners, isn't he? Now, here's a little background, too. The Christian Jews, in seeking justification in Christ alone, they were shown by God the Holy Spirit that they were sinners just like the Gentiles. Right? And that's what we're showing. We're Gentiles, right? And we're showing I'm a sinner before God by the law, right? So them by the power of the Holy Spirit, trusting in Christ alone and being justified in Christ alone, they were proclaiming that they were just like the Gentiles. And did not the Holy Spirit have Paul author those words that there's neither barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but we're all one in Christ? We're just a bunch of sinners saved by the grace of God. You see? Oh my. So when they sought justification in Christ alone, again, which is all by the grace and mercy of God, one will not seek justification in Christ unless the Holy Spirit's working in them and moving in them. Right? And drawing them to Christ. And that's just God showing us mercy. So for these Jews who were born again, it was an admission on their part that there was no justification by the works of the law. Which we know is true, right? But we didn't know that until God the Holy Spirit regenerated us. Same with our dear brethren who were Jews at one time and then saved by the mercy and grace of God in Christ. They were proclaiming that the seeker is not justified by the works of the law and is therefore, what? A sinner. So keep in mind, look again at what Paul says in verse 15, "We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles." So in proclaiming justification in faith alone, they were saying, we're sinners just like our Gentile brothers. Isn't that amazing? See, do you see how it all ties in now? And how justification in Christ, in the Jews proclaiming that, they're proclaiming that there's no hope in the law. Same thing we proclaim, right? We can't be justified by the works of the law. Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, brought that forth so clearly in verse 16. "And when the Holy Spirit's drawn us to Christ, we awaken to the consciousness that we cannot be justified by the law." We awaken to that. We awaken to the consciousness of our sin, don't we? That I'm just a sinner. I need to be saved. I can't save myself. We're taught that. That's as the Holy Spirit's drawing us and wooing us to Christ. And then when we're regenerated and we're given faith to believe, we just run to Christ, don't we? Oh, he's my Savior. Lord, save me. Save me or I die. Save me or I perish in my sins. So what this does, when those Jews were testifying that they couldn't be justified by the works of the law, they're actually testifying what Romans says, that when the law comes, we're all guilty before God. All of us. Every single one of us. And this compels the Jew to put himself on the same plane as the Gentiles. Now, that was not heard of back then, because they always thought they were better than them Gentile dogs. Now they find out exactly what Scott Richardson said, brother and sister, exactly what Scott said, that the ground at the foot of the cross is absolutely level. Well, what a surprise for them! What a surprise for us. Oh, wow. You mean I'm no better than any other worm in this world? I'm worse. And the more we grow in grace, the more we see our sinnership. Do you know that? The more we see, oh, I'm such a sinner and I need to be saved by my King. Let's read verse 16 again here. It's so clear that one cannot be justified by the law. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed that Jesus, or believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. See where it says, knowing there that a man is not justified by the works of the law, by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, the reason that we can't be justified by the law is evident because the law demands unsinning obedience. Everything I do is tainted with sin, you see? But did I know that before the Lord saved me? You didn't have a clue. I always thought there's someone worse than me down the street, right? Oh, you gotta see this fellow over here. He's such a sinner. Not me, yeah. But then we find out, oh, Lord, I'm worse than him. I need salvation so desperately. I need to be saved from my sins. So if the law demands unsinning obedience, we're all doomed. But I'll tell you what, there's one. There's one who obeyed that law without sin. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did it in the room and in place of his people. Because for us to break one of God's law is to be guilty of it all. Right? Therefore, the least departure on our part from the law is a breach of the whole law. A breach of the whole law. And consequently, as a result of that, the offender, which is we who are the sons and daughters of Adam, are subject to the full penalty of the disobedience of law, which is the soul that sinneth, it must die. And the scriptures declare that all of mankind have sinned. All of mankind have come short of the glory of God. All of mankind. So it must undeniably follow then that by the deeds of the law can no flesh be justified in God's sight. And this is exactly what Paul's bringing forth here in verse 16. That no flesh can be justified, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. And that's God-given faith, isn't it? And we see the apostle pivot. Notice this. He pivots from the law and turns to the gospel with these words, "We are justified by the faith of Jesus Christ." So he tells us, no man can be justified by the works of law, and then he pivots and says, it's only in Christ. He goes from the law to the gospel. Because the gospel is the only thing that gives us hope. And the gospel is all about Christ, isn't it? It's all about Him. All about Him. And he brings forth that the sole justifying cause before God, of the church being justified before God, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He just sets him forth, doesn't he? He just sets him right in front of us. And this is scriptural truth, because Christ is what? The head of the church. He's the head of the church. He's the only surety of the church. He's the only redeemer of the church. Right? It's by his blood that we're ransomed. And he's our substitute, beloved. He's our representative before God. He obeyed the law perfectly. He suffered the penalty for my sins, for our sins as believers, all the elect of all the ages. He suffered in our room and place. We broke the law. We were the guilty ones. And here he is dying in our place, before the wrath and justice of God that was due you and I. I ask you, did not Christ manifest his love for us at the cross? Did he not show us his eternal love for us? Oh, he did, didn't he? And how did he do it? By his shed blood. He died the sinless one. He perfectly obeyed the law, and yet he's dying on the cross because we broke the law, beloved. Because we could never be justified by anything we do. We see that, right? There's nothing we can do that could justify us before God. So the just one, the holy one, God incarnate in the flesh, comes to this sin-cursed world, lives a perfect life, obeying God's law perfectly, unsinning obedience. And then the sinless one dies as our substitute on Calvary's cross. My, what a Savior. What a Redeemer is Christ Jesus our Lord. He came here to redeem our eternal souls by his obedience and by his bloodshedding. And that becomes the cause of our justification, beloved. What he's done. His work. See, we couldn't fulfill the law. He fulfills it. He does a work for us. A justifying work. My. And now we're accepted in the beloved. We're accepted in Christ by God. God saw his sacrifice and said, I'm satisfied. And we know that because he raised Christ from the dead. My, oh my. And because he died as our sinless substitute, God's satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ. And both the law and justice of God must discharge the original offender. We're the original offender. And because of Christ's perfect work in life and death, we who are the original offenders are discharged before God's law and justice. Because he satisfied them in our room and place. And that law and that justice cannot extract twice. We're free. Discharged from all the penalty of our sin because Christ bore it all in our room and place. The original debtor, me, you, is God's people. Are set free. Set free, beloved. Because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. God himself. God provided himself a lamb. That's what he did. He provided himself a lamb. Remember he told Abraham? Abraham's son. Abraham was talking with his son. And Abraham said, God himself will provide a lamb. Well, he did at Calvary's cross, didn't he? So both cannot pay the penalty of sin. We cannot pay the penalty of sin. Therefore, Christ comes to earth to save his people. How? By paying the penalty for their sin before God's law and justice. Paying our debt. Our debt. You know, remember we talked about that? I loved it when I go with my dad and we get that stamp. I'd ask the guy, paid in full. Beloved, it's paid in full. Our sins are all forgiven. The debt is paid. Past, present, and future. Isn't that amazing? Never to be charged to us again. All by the precious, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Oh, we'll see the result of that blood, of this great transaction, of the sinner dying, or the substitute dying, the sinless substitute dying in the sinner's place, the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the result of that? Look at this, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. There is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me what? Free! Free! We're free, beloved. Free from what? From the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, it couldn't justify us, right? In that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son. See, the law could never justify us. So what does God do? He sends his son. He sends the word of God. He sends the son of God. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. It is finished. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Praise be to God. Let's go back to our verse there in verse 17. So the soul's enjoyment of this blessed state of justification before God in Christ alone, and solely in the person and by the redemption of Christ alone, becomes the right of every born-again, blood-washed believer. So rejoice, you who are born again. You who are a blood-washed child of God. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Let's read verse 17 again. But if well we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. So we see here that Paul rejects the false belief of the Judaizers, who charge that Christ is the promoter and encourager of sin, which Paul preaches that Christ is the only justifier of his people from their sins. And the causes the Jews to abandon the law. Those who are born again, they abandon the law of God as a justifying means. And in doing so, it puts the Jews on the same plane as the Gentiles. Level ground, beloved. Sinners before God. And the Judaizers argued in their false ways that in view of the fact that any violation of the law is sin, therefore they saw the abandonment of the law to be justified in Christ as sin. Oh my gosh. So messed up. Oh, but I know I was there before the Lord saved me. You believe error quicker than you believe the truth before the Lord saves you. Therefore, they concluded in their false ways that Christ was a promoter of sin. And we see here, this word here, again, the Greek word for God forbid, for the word forbid, expresses an absolute denial. God forbid. It can never be. Christ is the Savior of sinners. He's the Savior. And he's the only one. He's the only hope for sinners. If he's not your hope, cast yourself upon him. Because he's the only hope for sinners. That's all we've done, isn't it? We who are God's people. We cast ourselves upon Christ by the grace and mercy of God. And we say, hallelujah. What a Savior. Brother Travis, can you close us in prayer?